seated, please. The court is ready to hear arguments in 040607 and 040608 in re the Kennedy Memorial Foundation and in re Frost National Bank.
May it please the court, Mr. Mike Hatchell and Ms. Jackie Stroh will present arguments for the relators. Relators have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Hatchell will open the first 7 minutes, and Mr. Hatchell will present the rebuttal.
May it please the court. My colleague, Ms. Stroh, and I, we represent different clients, and there are slight differences in the fact patterns we bring in here today. Exercising my very best efforts to get her as much time to speak as possible. This is a mandamus, original mandamus action to set aside an extraordinary act in order to exhume a body for DNA testing to establish standing on bills of review. We have three very serious concerns with this order. Our first concern is that it is issued without any cognizable judicial controversy now before the probate judge that issued the order. Our second concern is it is in violation of the very statute that Ms. Fernandez says she invoked to get the exhumation order. And the third issue, which we probably will not get to today, although is one I would like to see the court write on, and that is whether, as a matter of policy, an exhumation should be ordered in these circumstances, even if the court were to have jurisdiction and the statute were to be complied with.
Mr. Hatchell, this is an extremely interesting case to me as it pertains to Texas history and particularly South Texas history. But on this last issue, on the policy issue, why should that or should that not be a significant consideration here in light of the jurisdiction issue and the standing issue?
I think it is a very serious consideration, Your Honor. I know this court will always want to write as narrowly as possible. And if a court does not have jurisdiction to issue this order, or if the order was issued in violation of the statute, I see the court going there. But I think it would be unfortunate because I would like to see very much the court write on this, because with the advent of DNA testing now, we all know that this is going to be a much greater problem. And to answer your question, I think what the policy issue is whether we should, in light of the advent of DNA testing, permit courts the discretion to dig up bodies, pull all the teeth out, and saw off the bones, when the cause of action to which that is appended is facially barred. Should the court, in that instance, have to make the determination that there is a live cause of action? The second policy aspect is this just simply too extreme a measure for evidence gathering? We do not, for example, allow people to beat confessions out of people. We do not allow lie detectors in court. There are all means by which we draw the line and say this is simply too extreme a measure. Balancing all of the interests.
Well, I guess it depends which side you're on. I mean, certainly the heirs or the alleged heirs to President Jefferson had an interest to determine heirship and perhaps exhuming his body or
DNA. Well, I think expediency and ease of proof is not the test.
Well, some of the examples you gave, though, are because of the skepticism, you know, and the confession arising from a beating or the scientific reliability of lie detector tests are at issue. But DNA testing, it seems that the science has come very close to being very accurate.
I don't question, Your Honor, DNA testing per se. The Code of Criminal Procedure, as the court knows, has accommodated this in a number of post-conviction remedies. The question is the means by which, in this case, that we get to DNA testing, which is to dig up a body, pull all its teeth, and saw off its bones. And I have to say that I'm just afraid, I'm sorry, that's going too far in order to provide evidence for standing for a cause of action that is facially barred.
Well, but aren't we guided by the statute here? I mean, as distasteful as it might be, the statute would appear to allow for that sort of thing without regard to the motivations behind it.
Oh, I disagree entirely because the statute in question, if you trace the history of the statute in question, prior to 1934, what was going on in Texas was a considerable amount of squabbling between between relatives of the deceased over burials. And the courts were drawn into the matter and developed this compelling need test. In 1934, the legislature passed the equivalent of the present statute, and gradually over time has taken the matter out of the discretion of the court, put the court essentially on the sidelines except in one limited place. What the legislature has done is to place this extreme decision into the hands of those people who are most vitally affected, the lot owner, the family of the deceased, and the cemetery. The courts say they are in paramount control. And so, yes, I say we are guided by the statute. And the statute, there is no question that the statute in this case was not compliant with. They admit that they did not comply with the statute. The question then becomes, if one of the statutory designees refuses an exhumation, do they give up their rights in doing so? And that is their position. If I refuse your request to dig up my relative, pull their teeth and saw their bones, I give up my statutory right.
Well, maybe I missed something. Where is it that they did not comply with Section C of the statute?
Your Honor, Section C of the statute applies only when the permission of one of the statutory designees above cannot be obtained, implying to me that it means it cannot physically be obtained for reasons of death or inability to contact or any one of a number of circumstances. And in that instance, the judge sets, not as an arbiter of the dispute to make the decision according to his own discretion, but as a surrogate for one of the statutory designees. And in this particular instance, we have refusals by the cemetery, and we have the failure to contact all of the family members. Okay, so the statute is not being complied with and cannot be invoked.
So it's your contention that the consent that's talked about at C is where somebody has not refused. They just can't get consent some other way.
That is absolutely correct. That is our position.
But that's not really what the statute says.
I think that is what it says. Yes. I believe that is exactly what it says. There are, of course, there is an ability to file an actual contest and bring that in district court, but not in county court, if there is a dispute with the statute. But the statute, again, has been interpreted to vest paramount authority in the individual, and the courts have been put on the sideline. And in addition to that, another manner in which the statute has not been complied with, there is a rule of the Texas Funeral Service Commission passed in aid of this statute that says that remains cannot be removed from any cemetery without a permit from the registrar and the state registrar of Texas, and that was not complied with in this case either. My time has expired.
Counsel, one quick last question here. You said several times about pulling all the teeth and cutting off the bones. Your position wouldn't change, would it, if it was just taking a small part of the remains?
It would not, but that illuminates the problem with the lapse of time in this case. The reason the measures in this case are extreme is because of the lapse of time. To get DNA testing from a deceased that has been buried as long as this one is requires these extreme measures, which I think highlights the policy problems that are raised by the passage of time.
Thank you, Counsel.
May it please the Court. I'd like to begin with the jurisdictional problems in pursuing the exhumation by Real Party Fernandez, and it's a good segue from Justice Green's comments on the statute and his observation or comment that the statute may control in all circumstances. the statute, even assuming it controls, cannot replace basic jurisdictional justiciability doctrines such as rightness, standing, and mootness. And we have those problems in this case. The will construction judgment that was signed by the 105th Judicial District Court in Kennedy County controls. It controls because it expressly found that John Kennedy died testate as to all of his property. Without intestacy, Fernandez cannot be an heir and cannot recover. So the exhumation cannot accomplish anything but abusive invasion, an attempt at an end run around the jurisdiction of the 105th District Court, and an attempt to determine heirship and intestacy when those issues are neither ripe for determination nor within the jurisdiction of the county court to determine.
Why doesn't it give Ms. Fernandez standing to ask that judgment be set aside? Why doesn't the exhumation and proof of heirship give her standing to ask that the judgment be set aside?
Well, first of all, Your Honor, the exhumation wouldn't give her standing because even if it established a paternity relationship, you still have the fact that there is a judgment determining that John Kennedy died testate as to all of his property. So even if you had an exhumation and a paternity determination, it would be meaningless unless and until the bill of review procedures were followed, the bill of review were granted, and then the will construction judgment set aside and a determination of intestacy.
Well,
I
confess I'm a little perplexed by some of the briefing because it seems to me like it's a chicken and egg thing, and it's just an argument about who's going to go first. And their argument is we should prove heirship first and then go to the bill of review, and the other argument is no, we should go through the bill of review first and determine heirship.
And I think it's important, if the court gets to that point and thinks it's that kind of a balancing act, to go back to the public policy issues that Mr. Hatchell raised. There are cases before the statute 711004 and after the statute that all state that disinterment and exhumation are against the public policy of Texas. And if you're going to do that, you better have a good reason. You better show that it's going to answer an important question. And you also have to show that you've exhausted less intrusive alternatives.
And I think those are legitimate concerns. But now tell me why they don't sort of eclipse the jurisdictional issue.
Well, I think I don't necessarily know that they eclipse. I think they go hand in hand. Where the jurisdictional argument says, look, you have to determine the issue of intestacy. You have to determine the bill of review on the will construction judgment first, or the issues of heirship are not right. The public policy argument fits well with that because it says, based on the public policy of Texas against disinterment and exhumation, the court should go forward and determine whether the bill of review in the will construction judgment is legally barred, which it is. I mean, as part of Fernandez's prima facie case on her bill of review, she has to show that she has a meritorious defense and that defense is not barred as a matter of law. That's her burden. That's not our burden. Why should you go to the extreme measure of an exhumation that may or may not prove paternity, DNA results may or may not, or DNA may or may not be successfully extracted? You're going to go through that when, on its face, her bill of review is barred, and she can't even make her prima facie showing on her bill of review. Not to mention the fact that on the fraud element, there are substantial problems. And so for those reasons, the public policy comes in and fits well with the rightness arguments and the standing arguments that we've made.
I think the public policy issues is significant here, as in perhaps all cases like this. But let's say Fernandez loses on the procedural issues and she's barred from pursuing her claim, yet there's this issue that it does significantly involve public policy, and that's the exhumation of this Mr. Kennedy. How is she able to pursue that? I mean, is the door forever closed on her claim because she has failed in the procedural aspects of this statute?
Well, if the bill of review would be barred, her claims would be barred as a matter of law, what could her possible interest in pursuing an exhumation be? She simply wouldn't have one. And there
sure,
is
sure she would have one. She would have one
Because she just simply wants to know her lineage and genealogy?
Well, I think it's obviously more than that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Well, but if the bill of review is barred, then that is all she would be left with, because she wouldn't have any claims that could be determined, because they would all be barred.
What would be a less intrusive alternative?
Well, we suggested several in our brief, one of which would be certainly to defer to the 105th District Court and allow the bill of review proceedings on the will construction judgment to go forward, and put Fernandez to the test, make her make a prima facie showing on the bill of review elements, including the meritorious defense, show that her defense, if any, is not barred as a matter of law.
Why hasn't the district court gone forward?
Well, because my guess would be that until recently, the county court, the statutory probate court judge, had transferred those bills of review into his court.
But then they got transferred back.
But it was only roughly 2 weeks before we instituted this proceeding. So, you know, the district court, along with the statutory probate court judge, may simply be adopting a wait-and-see attitude.
Has anybody asked the district court to go forward?
No. So, again, with respect to following up on Justice Medina's question, if the bill of review is barred and all Fernandez is claiming at that point is simply a curiosity about her lineage or paternity, we have cited case law in our brief that explains that that is not a judicially enforceable right. It must be tied to some sort of legal claim seeking recovery. Now, also following up on Mr. Hatchell's argument with respect to the statute and Justice Green's question, if you look at subsection C, you can see clearly that the county court is simply to step in for the statutory designees and give consent for an exhumation when one of those statutory designees is not available to give consent, and not when one of them expressly objects, and then you have essentially a dispute or a contest over exhumation.
But isn't that the reason, though? I mean, if everybody agrees, there's not a problem. That would be A. So C is where not everybody agrees, so the judge has to decide and then weighs the circumstances, and apparently without any real standard, makes a decision.
May I answer? That's not, in our opinion, a correct reading of the statute. If you look at the first subsection, it requires written consent. So C would kick in when you're unable to obtain written consent. It's not merely when you don't get the consent.
But cannot be obtained could go either way.
Well, I don't think cannot be obtained equates with an outright refusal of consent and an objection to the exhumation.
Well, under what circumstances would there be consent in a case like this? Probably never, correct?
Well, certainly. I mean, if you have a dispute between someone who is not an interested party under the statute and someone who inherited through an interested party in the statute, you're not going to have consent. But under their interpretation, if you look at subsection C, they would give the county court absolutely unfettered discretion to order an exhumation that could not be reviewable by any court, because he would have absolute discretion, and that simply can't be the standard.
Thank you, Ms. Strode. The court is now ready to hear argument from the real party.
May it please the court, Ms. Deborah Hankinson will present argument for the real party in interest.
May it please the court. The issue before the court today is narrow and straightforward. Did the trial court clearly abuse its discretion when it ordered the exhumation? The answer to that is similarly clear, no. The analytical path to that answer is also straightforward. If the court respects and abides by the well-established principles of appellate decision-making that govern this mandamus proceeding. The relators don't want you on that path. They've tinkered with the traffic signals to throw you off that path. As Justice Heck said, they've made it a chicken and the egg problem. They ask you to use this limited proceeding to address the merits of issues not before the court to foreclose Ann Fernandez's right to be heard on the merits of her claims and their defenses to her claims. The court should stop, look, and listen, and decline to do so. The issues in this case are complex, and they don't want you to think about the impact of your deciding those complex issues and the effect they will have on this case and also on the jurisprudence of the state. To do so,
I take it the impediment to going forward on the bills of review is standing.
That's correct, Your Honor.
From their position.
They have raised the issue to the trial court that she has no standing to be able to pursue the issues presently pending in Kennedy County statutory probate court that is there.
And I take it your position in response then is that since that's a jurisdictional issue, it has to be decided at the outset and ahead of these other merits decisions.
Well, Your Honor, I think that's what you wrote when you wrote for the court in Bland versus Blue. You said, and because a court does not act without determining that it has subject matter jurisdiction to do so, it should hear evidence as necessary to determine the issue before proceeding with the case. In writing for the court, you also said standing is a prerequisite to subject matter jurisdiction, and subject matter jurisdiction is essential to the court's power to hear the case.
Bill of Review's similarly a preliminary matter, and Bland didn't involve a bill of review.
It did not, Your Honor, but the proceeding, I think it's important to clarify what proceedings are in Kennedy County Court. Yes, there's a bill of review, but there are also an application to determine heirship under the probate code. There are separate, you have to look at the pleadings to see the nature of the action that's pending. This is not just a bill of review proceeding.
Well, but it was almost 60 years ago that he died.
That's correct, Your Honor, but Honor.
Probably outside of bill of review.
The current state of the proceedings in the Kennedy County Court are that John Kennedy Jr.'s estate has never been officially closed. It is still open. Apparently, as I understand it, that is not unusual in Texas when estates contain oil and gas properties. Apparently, Professor Johansson has acknowledged that that is commonplace in Texas. So it may be deemed closed or it is still open, but in any event, there are still probate proceedings that were there. And as a result of that, an action has been brought, Your Honor, within the jurisdiction of the probate court. Now remember, they asked for statutory probate judge to be assigned to handle the matters in the Kennedy County Court. And Section 48 allows proceedings to be instituted under the very circumstances that we're dealing with here. So it's not just the bill of review. That is before the court in that regard. Now, what they want to say is that there is interference with the jurisdiction of the 105th District Court, but there is not. Ann Fernandez was not a party to that lawsuit back when it was a friendly suit in order to do a will construction or interpretation issue. And the only issue decided there was intestacy, but she didn't participate. The probate code allows her to go back into the probate court and do what she is doing in Kennedy County. It is specifically there. And the issues that would be decided in that proceeding, heirship and her status as his non-marital daughter, have never been decided by any court. And the legislature has specifically given the jurisdiction of the Kennedy County Court to decide that. So when we talk about having to go in and do the bill of review, she wasn't a party to that. There's a question about the status of that, and as counsel pointed out, they haven't moved forward with that.
But neither of you.
Yes.
Neither of you.
No, sir.
No one has.
We're in the first file proceedings, Justice, have been in the probate court, and we are in somewhat of an unsettled area on some issues. And my understanding is that the lawsuits in district court were also filed in an effort to make sure that there were not any questions about which court or limitations issues that would be raised by ultimately decisions made later. The cases that we are proceeding with are the ones that are in the Kennedy County Court. We believe those are the ones that where the issue is joined.
To paraphrase, the other side is saying that what you're seeking here is so extraordinary and disrespectful to the deceased that the courts ought to look at a trial court order like this with great suspicion and find ways unless an extraordinary case is met, not to permit this sort of disinterment exhumation and invasive procedure. And what's your answer?
Well, I would say that the legislature has already spoken to this, Your Honor. First of all, in Section 42 of the Probate Code, which is the provision on inheritance rights of children, interestingly, the legislature has more recently changed the standard to determining paternity, one of the many places it has, to clear and convincing. And they did so because DNA evidence is now the gold standard for making that determination. So the legislature has acknowledged in this context, if that standard applies to this case, which I'm not sure if it does or not, but if it did, there's clearly legislative intent on that. Clearly, under the sections of the probate code, giving the probate court the ability to make paternity determinations, to be able to consider applications to determine heirships, under Section 5 and 5A of the probate code that give it jurisdiction, the legislature obviously contemplated that this kind of proceeding might be necessary to determine. So then the question becomes, we know under the statute that the county court where the cemetery is located has jurisdiction if consent from a court is required. We also know that under Chapter 25 of the government code, statutory probate code courts have that jurisdiction, the same jurisdiction as the county court. That looks like to me to be clear legislative intent to give courts jurisdiction to do this. Now, then the question becomes, what did this court have before it, and did the judge abuse his discretion in making the decision? And the answer is no. If you look at the record in this case,
it seems to me that under that analogy, in all contested issues such as this, it seems to me that under your analogy and your reading of the statute and legislative intent, that in all contested issues such as this, that a party can go directly to the county court and request the body to be exhumed without following the procedural mechanisms to get there, even if they do not have standing.
But the procedural mechanisms were followed here, Your Honor. And
that's disputed.
Pardon?
That's disputed.
Well, the record before the probate court, first of all, these parties who are here arguing today don't even have standing under the statute to complain about the order of exhumation. The legislature has indicated in the statute where consent comes from, the people who have a voice. These parties, other than the Oblate Fathers who own the cemetery, got through Sarita's will and with the right to allow the family to be buried on the Lajara Ranch, they're not listed as even having a voice. And it's not a question of anything being absolute. Look at the record in this case. What the court had before were the undisputed circumstances of Ann Fernandez's birth, which I'm sure the court is aware of from looking at the briefs. Look at the evidence that was offered that they have now in support of their claim that Ann is biological daughter of John Kennedy Jr. Dr. Fernandez's affidavit about his grandmother's statements, the envelope DNA, the photos, Dan Rowland's affidavit, and the Tracy affidavit regarding Max Dreyer. We also had expert testimony about this kind of procedure and how bones and teeth are the best way to get the DNA evidence, and that it was more likely than not that DNA could be obtained. And the trial court was very careful, Your Honor, in order to alleviate your concerns. He tried everything else that was available, less intrusive means. And there wasn't anything. They tested the hair that they could find. There were no roots on the hair, so they were not able to follow through.
But let me ask you,
yes.
Sooner or later, we'll have to go to the bill of review proceedings.
Not necessarily, Your Honor.
The exhumation won't end it.
That's correct, Your Honor. That will resolve the issue that has been joined by them, that she is not the biological daughter of John Kennedy Jr., which is necessary to being able to move forward.
And while that issue has to be confronted by the court at the threshold of the litigation, it doesn't have to be once and for all resolved. In fact, it may not be. Might not be resolved until the close of the evidence. And those kinds of things can change. What impediment is there to going forward, to having the trial judge say, well, this other evidence that you've got is good enough for me so far. Now I'm going to go to the merits. I think, based on what you've said, you've made a case for standing, and sure, there may be some other evidence out there. It may be convincing, but that's enough for now, and let's go to the merits. Do you think the trial judge could do that, whichever trial judge turns out to be?
Well, I suppose the trial judge could do that, but I'm not sure why the trial judge would do that, since subject matter jurisdiction is implicated first. And second of all, we know it's an issue in the case.
But
because they have been adamant about that.
If he thinks there's enough evidence, this is not just a spurious assertion of standing. This is you've made all these other offers of proof of how it was discovered and so on. So that's good enough. I think that shows standing.
Is it good enough for clear and convincing? And I think that's the concern, because the statute...
Well, it may not be good enough for heirship, but it's good enough for standing.
Well, I don't know that that's the case, Your Honor, it's a contested issue. And I think that it presents a question of law for the court to decide if there is standing based on the underlying facts. And as long as that is a disputed issue in the case, and as long as the law requires that standing be proved, then I believe that Ann Fernandez is entitled to the best evidence available to be able to prove her standing, particularly in the face where we don't have any substantial objection from a party to whom the legislature has given a voice in the matter.
But I'm just unclear on that, because if the trial judge says she's put on enough evidence to win standing at this point as a threshold matter, how can you object to that? Looks to me like you'd say, we won.
But he hasn't done that.
Right.
I mean, he made the determination that in the face of their answer and summary judgment motions that they had pending before him, that it was going to be a disputed fact issue. And he wasn't satisfied. And I think that as the fact finder, that is within his discretion to make that determination. And I think that if we apply principles of reviewing trial court decisions, then I think that is entitled to deference for him to decide that information needs to be developed. And I think in light of the jurisdiction given to the probate courts to be able to do what is here, and given this record in terms of the trying to use less intrusive means, there is no substantial objection from a party who has a voice in an exhumation matter.
But a bill of review is an equitable proceeding. A court in equity, couldn't a court in equity say, before we dig anybody up, whether there's anybody here to object or not, before I dig a pauper up from John Doe's grave, I want to know why you, 60 years later, never asked who your grandfather was until you found out they were rich. And if you don't have a good answer to that, then a court in equity says not only no inheritance, but no digging people up.
Well, but this judge has heard enough to decide that he wants an answer to the standing question before looking at the merits. I mean, I think that was what my cautionary statement was at the beginning, Your Honor. All of that type of record information is not before the court. It's not here for the court to evaluate. What we have is the record tied to the exhumation proceeding. The Oblate Fathers, through their counsel, said we don't want to disturb the peace of the cemetery. And that's it. That's all he had in front of him. Their expert testified, let's test the hair samples first. And the judge said, fine, that's what I'm going to do. The bottom line is that what they're really asking you to do, Judge, is to delve into all of those issues that you just mentioned. When you don't have a record before you, when you don't have briefing on all of those issues before you, and when your decision on them might unsettle established probate law, it might also...
But I gather their position is the body was about to be dug up is why we didn't go forward with the... We want to stop that for a minute, and we'll go to the bill of review, and we'll...
But it's not just a bill of review, Your Honor. It is a separate...
Once we've dug the body up, the bill of review, we can do earlier or late. Once the body is dug up, we can't undo that.
I am not here claiming that there is no adequate, that there's an adequate remedy at law and that the court should not be considering it. I'm just asking the court to stay with the standard for reviewing mandamus, which is to review whether this judge, faced with a challenge to standing, in a matter in which he clearly has jurisdiction, when there is no interference with the jurisdiction of another court, and when the legislature has set out a clear and convincing standard and has in addition specified a procedure that was followed in this particular case, and with there being no substantial objection from anyone having a voice, where he carefully has laid out a very specific procedure so that this is done respectfully and in accordance with good scientific practice, whether that judge, under these circumstances, in these probate matters, has abused his discretion? And the answer to that is no. The other questions that you raise are exactly questions that will be before the court at some point, and perhaps before this court. And all we are saying to the court is they are not the questions that should be answered here. There are constitutional issues pending below. There are questions about charitable trusts and what they can or cannot do. There are questions about interpreting the probate code. There are questions, obviously, about limitations, adverse possession, and all of those other things on which issue has been joined. They are joined not just in the context of a bill of review pending in the lower court. They are in connection with probate proceedings that the legislature allows people to bring. As this court recognized in an earlier opinion, the legislature has been fairly liberal about allowing later proceedings after earlier proceedings have occurred. Whether this is one of those cases or not remains to be seen. But it is in the context of the probate proceedings that we are here before the court. The standard for deciding whether the court has abused its discretion is whether it failed to follow guiding principles. It didn't, in light of this court's decision in Bland. We can't say that the court failed to do that. The court also followed the statute. They did give the notice that was required. It's in the record. The family member remained silent. The Oblate fathers who own the cemetery and operate it objected and through their counsel stated to the court, we don't want to disturb the peace of Laparo Ranch. That was all he had to work with. There is no requirement under either the government code or the health and safety code provisions that are at issue that require exhumation to be pendant to other litigation or that require that some threshold issue under a cause of action be definitively decided before the decision is made on exhumation. Nor does this trial court order constitute active interference with the jurisdiction of the district court. There is no way that they can put this square peg in that round hole and claim that this judge has done anything to interfere by issuing this order. He has acted within his jurisdiction on the plain language of this statute, as well as the provisions of the probate code that govern the underlying proceedings. The matter was required to be brought for exhumation in the county court of the county in which the cemetery is located. That is this court. There is no question about that. They hinge their argument on cannot be obtained, only means you just can't find them, I guess, or something to that effect. That is not looking at the text of the legislation. It is not abiding by the clear language of the statute or the plain and common meaning of the words included in the statute.
Thank you, Ms. Hanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Hatchell,
what do you claim is your standing to challenge this?
The order for exhumation is in violation of the statute and void. It's being used by the admission in their own pleadings to confer standing to set aside a will and to set aside inter vivos transfers by which my client, the foundation, has all the properties. That is the whole point. That is the whole point of this litigation. And they say time and time and time again in their papers that they're seeking the exhumation and to get evidence, to confer standing, to set aside Sarita East's will and reclaim the properties that I presently have.
Right. But I mean, in terms of the statutory right to complain, I mean, your client's not one of them.
We're not one of them, but we can certainly complain of a void order of the court.
In fact, though, if the exhumation occurs and the genetic testing proves that she is not the daughter, we win.
We win, sure.
And all the other proceedings are down the line, secondary to this, so I'm still having a hard time determining why you can complain about even a void order.
Because that void order is being used as a means to set aside the will and the inter vivos transfer by which we own the property, and it is all bound up. It is essentially a discovery order entered in the midst of that case. And I certainly ought to be able to complain of a void discovery order, whether it's an abuse of discretion or whether it's illegal. I want to address two questions and any other questions the court wishes to ask. First is Mr. Justice Heck's chicken and egg problem. Mr. Justice Heck, if we perplexed you with our briefing, I apologize, because we recognized the chicken and egg argument very early on. Our briefing is constructed to avoid that. Viewing the paternal parentage claim under 42B, which is sometimes referred in this case as determination of heirship, it could have two prongs. One could be as a determination that Ms. Fernandez was an heir. But this court has held, and many other courts have held, that heirship alone is an absolutely meaningless determination until you prove intestacy. So that's why, in this particular case, the 42B parentage determination is a means to determine standing. In order, at least speaking from Sarita's standpoint, in order for Ms. Fernandez to succeed, she must set aside Sarita's will, she must set aside the inter vivos transfers, she must set aside the order of the district court ordering Sarita's estate closed. Those are matters pending in district court, and it has already been determined that Judge Herman's order transferring those cases to him was an interference with those court's jurisdiction. And I must disagree strongly with my good friend Justice Hankinson, that there is no interference, because when in Texas do we say it is not interference for one court to purport to act to determine standing of a party in another court? That's how we approach the chicken and egg problem. We say, number one, from the heirship standpoint, it's a totally meaningless act, and we don't dig up bodies in order for someone to simply satisfy some genealogical curiosity. And number two, looking at it from the standpoint of standing, that is a matter to be followed in another court. I also want to address Mr. Justice Green's concern about the statute. My time has expired.
Thank you, Mr. Hatchell. The cause is submitted, and that concludes all causes for today, and the marshal will now adjourn the court.
All rise. Oye, oye, oye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned.